Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Today, as we return to the third epistle of John, we leave Diotrephes behind and we take up another member of his church. We leave verses 9 and 10 behind, and we take up verses 11 and 12, which turn out to be the final two verses of the main body of the epistle. There are two more verses that follow, and they are the concluding verses. The verses that say, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to come and see you shortly, and so forth. And he closes out the epistle. But there are two more verses that still deal with the main body of John's message to Gaius and to the church. And after calling Diotrephes out and exposing his sinfulness and telling the church that he was going to come and deal with Diotrephes, telling Gaius that he was going to come to the church where Diotrephes was a member and deal with his malicious conduct, John then turns from that personage, that distasteful personage that we wish we didn't have to deal with people like that, but sometimes we do. And if we're going to be faithful to the Word of God, we're going to have to deal with them in a God-honoring way. We're going to have to do what is difficult and distasteful, but nevertheless do it in order to be obedient to Christ and to His Word. But thankfully, the church isn't made up entirely, in fact, is made up primarily of people like Diotrephes. If it were, wow. But it's not. There are people like this. They need to be identified. They need to be recognized. They need to be challenged. They need to be confronted. They need to be removed if they will not repent. But thankfully, they don't constitute the whole church. And so we're going to move on this Monday, August 5. Thank you for joining me. And thank you for helping me with the cost of maintaining this broadcast on this station. Well, there are actually four men altogether that are referred to by name or by title in this short epistle, the shortest book in all the Bible. Who are they? Number one, the elder, who is, of course, John, the apostle. Number two, Gaius, who was an active member in his church, beloved, faithful, commended by John because he was a godly man. Number three, Diotrephes, this church boss who usurped authority that was not his, who was an opponent of John, who was an opponent of truth, and who was an opponent of the Lord Jesus Christ operating within a local church. And then number four, the one we're taking up today, who is Demetrius, a godly man with a good testimony. And here's what we read, verse 11, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. A good testimony. I hope you have a good testimony. I hope you understand the importance of a good testimony. I hope you value having a good testimony and are willing to work hard at establishing and maintaining a good testimony for the cause of Christ. What we have in these two verses is number one, a command, verse 11, and number two, a commendation, verse 12. A command. Beloved, Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. A command. This is the first imperative to be found in this entire book. Most of what John says is not by way of command. It is not an imperative. That may come as a surprise to you. Some people are of the mistaken notion that the Bible is almost all a book of imperatives. Do's and don'ts. I'm tired of that kind of religion, some people say. A religion of do's and don'ts, all the things you've got to do and all the things you can't do. And the Bible is just full of do's and don'ts. The truth of the matter is that though the Bible contains some do's and don'ts, and they are the inspired word of God every bit as much as anything else, the majority of the Bible is not in the imperative mode. It is not. And this is the first one in this epistle. In fact, it's the only one in this epistle. Well, I take that back. There is a second one in the conclusion. It's the only one in the main body of the epistle. And it is something of a bridge between the dishonorable Diotrephes and the honorable Demetrius. And it is a command. Written to whom? Beloved, he says. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Is written to someone called beloved, and here it is in the singular, so he's not writing this to the entire church, but beloved. And I'm certain that he must have Gaius in mind. That's who the epistle is written to. It is a personal epistle, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Gaius, who has been the focus of this epistle through most of it, but there was this digression to deal with Diotrephes, but Gaius, who is called beloved four times, who is especially loved by John because he loved the truth, and John loved the truth, and John loved anybody who loved the truth, and Gaius loved the truth and therefore was loved by John. But any believer who is a genuine believer in Jesus Christ and therefore does love the truth of God, loves the Bible, anyone in that category can claim this beloved. It may be specifically Gaius in mind, because it's in the singular, not the plural. Beloved, that is, beloved Gaius, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So it's written to Gaius because the epistle is written to Gaius, but it applies to any child of God who loves the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. And because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely, he loves the truth of God. But what is this command all about? Well, it is a simple instruction for godly living. Do not imitate what is good, or rather, do not imitate what is evil. But what is good? That's simple. It's applying it that becomes challenging at times, but that's simple. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. It's a present imperative. Do not imitate, or it could be translated, do not mimic. Do not be imitating what is evil. And here, in the context, he's talking about the evil abuse of authority that Diotrephes has been the prime example of, and John has just dealt with him, and after talking about the evil deeds, isn't that what he said? Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, his evil deeds, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, the evil that was just described in the preceding verse, but instead, what is good. But though in context, that's clearly what John has in mind, don't imitate this evil abuse of authority, but since he doesn't specifically state, do not imitate the kind of abuse of authority that Diotrephes represents, it can, therefore, legitimately be understood as a broader statement. Do not copy evil behavior of any kind. Our Adamic nature inclines us towards sinful behavior. And not only does our Adamic nature incline us that way, but we are encouraged or discouraged in that direction by others, encouraged by those who want to have us join them in their evil behavior, but discouraged by others who are calling us to live for Christ. But the Bible tells us that the kind of company we keep influences our behavior. Did you know that? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And I'm turning there. It'll take me just a second to get there. But 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Evil company corrupts good habits, or good behavior. Evil company does that. Some translations say evil company corrupts good character. The kind of company we keep will influence us either for good or for evil. Now, the Bible does not command us to isolate ourselves from everything and everyone in the world so that we only have godly influences in our life 24/7. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us to be salt and light in the world, not from a distance, not on a desert island somewhere, where we're trying to beam the truth of God's word across the ocean into that wicked world far away that we don't want to get close enough to touch. But everything in the scripture indicates that we are to build relationships with people in the world for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of their souls, for the sake of evangelism. We are to imitate our Lord in that, who did what? He was accused many times by the Pharisees of eating with publicans and sinners. And you know what? It was an accurate accusation. The only problem was there was nothing wrong with it. There was everything right with it. It wasn't a bad thing for him to eat with publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. It was a good thing for him to do that. He was doing it for the sake of their souls. So when I say that we need to be aware of bad influences in our lives, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have any contact with the world. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. But I'm saying we need to recognize that if our friendships are primarily among people who are enemies of Christ rather than friends of Christ, it's going to influence us in evil behavior. Beloved, do not copy. Do not imitate. That is, do what others do. That's what imitate is. Do not imitate what is evil. Do not copy evil behavior, but on the other hand, do copy good behavior. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And again, the good behavior can be copied from others who are good examples, and we learn from them. In that same 1 Corinthian epistle, Paul said this in chapter 11 and verse 1, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." Oh, that's verse 2. Verse 1, Paul said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Copy me to the extent that I'm copying Christ. Now, you've got to know enough about Scripture and enough about Christ to be able to tell the difference. But Paul is saying, you can follow my example. I'm a little more mature. I'm a little further down the road than you are. And therefore, you can safely copy me. And we've run out of time. So tomorrow, we'll take it up again, Lord willing.